next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
Work hard, work safe, wear the best. Red Wing shoes, built for comfort, built for durability, built to handle the toughest jobs. And on the Central Coast, there's only one place to get them. Tack and Shoes, your exclusive Red Wing dealer with the best selection, expert fitting, and boots that won't let you down. Got a Red Wing voucher? Bring it in. They accept them all. Tack and Shoes, on the corner of 8th and Spring in Paso Robles, or on Marsh Street across from Wells Fargo in San Luis Obispo. Work starts here.
Sometimes it's what you've been waiting for, and sometimes it's unexpected. You're pregnant. Tree of Life Pregnancy Care Center is here to help. Services include pregnancy tests and ultrasounds, maternity and baby items, post-abortion support, and lots of helpful information. It's all confidential, and it's all free. There's a Tree of Life in San Luis Obispo, Atascadero, and Paso Robles. Visit our website at treeoflifepsc.com or call us at 805-543-6000. That's 805-543-6000. Tree of Life.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Isaac Lohenkron.
The Dallas Mavericks have hired Masai Ujiri as their new team president and alternate governor. The Orlando Magic fired head coach Jamal Mosley after five seasons, one day after losing Game 7 of the playoffs at Detroit, a series they led 3-1. Baseball, Detroit Tigers ace Tarek Skubal will need to undergo arthroscopic surgery to remove loose bodies in his left elbow. It's presently unknown how long Skubal will be out of action. Former longtime New York Yankees broadcaster John Sterling has passed away at the age of 87. Sterling was the soundtrack for five Yankees World Series championships. NFL media reports the Green Bay Packers are signing veteran quarterback Tyrod Taylor to back up Jordan Love and releasing quarterback Desmond Ridder, and that the Baltimore Ravens are expected to sign veteran QB Skylar Thompson.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, a new study puts a hefty price tag on the cost of Napa County wine grape growers of complying with government regulations. Commissioned by the Napa County Farm Bureau and prepared by researchers at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, the study found the cost of last year's regulatory compliance was between 8 and 12% of production costs. For large growers, that's nearly $2 million. For small growers, that's around $226,000, twice that of Oregon growers. House Ag Committee Chair G.T. Thompson is grateful the farm bill passed through the House. Thompson says he can think of no more important work than championing the Farm, Food, and National Security Act of 2026. With 14 Democrats and one independent voting in favor of the bill, it's the highest number of votes from the minority party on a House farm bill since 2008. Only three Republicans voted against the bill. AccuWeather is forecasting a slightly lower number of U.S. wildfires in 2026, but warns those that do ignite could be more intense and destructive. Experts say drought, heat, wind, and dry vegetation are increasing the likelihood of fast-spreading fires. AccuWeather's lead long-range forecaster, Paul Pasteluck, says expanding drought combined with heat, wind, and dry vegetation is a dangerous combination. The interior Northwest and Rockies could face the highest risk.
The Northern Pulse Growers Association is proud to sponsor the Growing Pulse Crops podcast, your go-to resource for practical pulse production insights. Each episode features farmers, researchers, or industry experts sharing real-world tips to help you boost yields, manage pests and disease, and get the most from your pulse crops. Whether you grow peas, lentils, or chickpeas, you'll find information you can put to work on your farm right away. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or visit growingpulsecrops.com.
Activate your crop's defenses with Orbix from Helena. Orbix is a next-generation foliar nutritional that produces stronger, more productive crops by mitigating stress. It improves plant vitality with select plant extracts, high-analysis NPK and micronutrients enhanced with the efficiency of ENC formulation technology. Unleash yield potential in your crops this season with Orbix. Contact your Helena representative or authorized dealer for more information. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Pass Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Pass Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages are falling in afternoon trading on renewed U.S.-Iran tensions, which are sending oil prices swinging wildly. Higher oil prices and inflation worries are keeping investors cautious. West Texas Intermediate crude is around $105 a barrel, while Brent crude, the international benchmark, is around $114. Most all of the 11 S&P 500 sectors are lower, with energy the only gainer, while tech and industrials are the biggest laggards. Shares of United Parcel Service and FedEx are falling after the Wall Street Journal reported that Amazon is opening up its global supply chain network to all businesses. Amazon said that among the first customers for the service are Procter & Gamble, 3M, and American Eagle Outfitters. Shares of Amazon are up 1% and on track for a record close. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Why does Progressive love protecting truckers? Because truckers unite the world. Truckers unite candles and yoga instructors. Truckers unite fake plants with people who shouldn't own living plants. Truckers unite French press coffee makers with the most pretentious person you know. But truckers can't do any of this if they're not on the road. That's why Progressive now offers truckers even more protection on cargo with its enhanced Cargo Plus coverage. Get a quote in as little as 8 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms, limits, and conditions. Not available in California.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
Today, mind bogglers from the new wave of regulation. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
Yesterday, I discussed a recent speech by Dr. Murray Wiedenbaum concerning a new wave of regulation that threatens to bankrupt small business and raise prices for American consumers. Dr. Wiedenbaum pointed out that small business is reeling under a mountain of paperwork and is finding it impossible to determine what it is the new regulators really want. But there are other problems as well. They stem from the narrow focus of each of the new agencies. Some of their mandates contradict not only a healthy economy and low prices, but each other. Since each of the new agencies cares only about its own legal role, the larger picture is invariably lost. For example, Dr. Wiedenbaum tells us the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, requires backup alarms on vehicles at construction sites. Nothing wrong with that. But then OSHA says the workers on those sites have to wear earplugs for protection against noise pollution, which means they can't hear those required alarms if they ring. Here's a single agency pursuing two worthy but contradictory goals. Which one does the small businessman choose to follow? Then there's the case of a woman who wants to legally wash her children's pajamas in New York State. Now that sounds like a pretty fundamental freedom. But the Consumer Product Safety Commission says the only way you can legally wash pajamas without washing out fireproof materials, which are required by that same commission, is to do so with phosphate detergents. But in 1973, in a move against water pollution, New York said it was illegal to use phosphate detergents. So, mama has to choose between fire hazard to her child or committing an act of illegal laundry. The hidden costs of this new wave of regulation are immense. I've already mentioned the enormous cost of the paperwork alone. There's also the cost of the bureaucrats themselves, more than $63,000 at a cool $2 billion a year. And there's the cost to the public in the decline in new technological improvements. The longer it takes for a new product or invention to win government approval, the less chance that a business will ever find it advantageous to market the product or utilize the invention. This is already evident in the decline of new drugs and medicines because of Federal Drug Administration regulations. Most of all, these regulations increase the cost of producing a product to the point where often only big business can stay in the field. When a business has three or four employees and has as many forms to fill out as a firm with 3,000 or 4,000, you know who's going to go under. The result is less competition, bigger business, and higher prices. Dr. Wiedenbaum's conclusion on the new wave of regulation says it all. Quote, "No realistic evaluation of the practice of government regulation fits the notion of benign and wise officials making altogether sensible decisions in the society's greater interests. Instead, we find waste, bias, stupidity, concentration on trivia, conflicts among the regulators, and worst of all, arbitrary and uncontrolled power." Unquote. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
When it comes to sustainable energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. Marilyn from Templeton says, quote, "Solarponics installed our system almost 20 years ago. There are occasions when your system needs to be serviced. With Solarponics, work is completed quickly with knowledge and skill. This is as important a part of a solar company as the original installation. Thank you, Marilyn, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing a lifetime of as important service. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention Central Coast homeowners. Is your water heater over 7 years old? If so, replace it with a heat pump water heater before it fails and save thousands in energy costs. Plus, new rebates cover up to 80% of the cost. Call or click to get a free, no-hassle quote today. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Serving San Luis Obispo County for your weed abatement needs, your best bet is Ken Silva. From half acre to 25 acres, integrity, hard work, and quality service. Mowing accomplished with tractor and flail mower, which is cost effective and more efficient. Clean it and cut it with Ken Silva. Free estimates. Call or text Ken Silva, 805-459-6011.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Sound Off on this Monday afternoon. Kevin Will in studio with our special guest from the Paso Robles Fire Department at his administrative captain, Ross Porter. Ross, thanks for coming back. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
All righty. So the first thing is, and I don't know if we've done this because I've had you on a few times, is exactly what are the responsibilities in your position?
My position is kind of a unique position in the fire department. It's administrative fire captain for CRR, which is community risk reduction. Really has anything to do with, just like it says, reducing risk in the community. So everything from the residents to even our staff, things that I can do to help out and make everybody safer in the community. It ranges everything from our AED program to school presentations to public events like this. Any of the public events that we have downtown, I'm involved with our city events, stuff like that. So there's a wide range.
Is there a couple of common questions or concerns that people have when you do this?
As far as, I get a lot of questions sometimes on fire safety. Some of the things I do is talk about wildfire preparedness. We do presentations on home hardening and defensible space, things like that to prevent wildfires, as well as other emergencies too, such as earthquakes or severe weather events, stuff like that.
Now, one of the things that's interesting, when you mentioned the wildfire, and I think people may have if they're not or haven't been around here very long, is, well, wildfire, well, this is the city of Paso Robles. We look at the city of Paso Robles, but people forget that you're only, maybe in some instances only half mile or maybe even less from wildfire areas, even in this community as we've grown.
That's correct. And living in the city, you sometimes forget that we are surrounded by wildland areas. So, very high fire hazard severity zones as determined by Cal Fire's maps. And even though here in the city we are high and moderate zones, we're not very high fire, we are surrounded by that, which means if we have a fire that starts outside of our city limits and it aligns with the weather and topography, we could have a major wildfire come into the city and be very destructive.
So in the case of our firefighters here in the city of Paso Robles, does, because of the combination of things that we have that make it a little bit unique than, say, a quote-unquote city, is there more training, or is it standard training for all fire fighters?
I would say it's standard training, but if you are threatened by wildfire more, then firefighters do training in wildfire arena as well. Here in the city, we do have a Type 3 fire engine, which is suited for wildfires. It's set up for that. It's a four-wheel drive fire engine. And we do a lot of training on an ongoing basis for fires like that as well.
That's, I was thinking about it this weekend, about the training and techniques from when you started. How different the techniques, the training, and obviously with the technical advances, How far has it come from, when you were a rookie?
A long ways. A lot of our technology obviously has changed, and that's information that the firefighters have on the fire engine. When I first started, we didn't have hardly any information other than what we're hearing over the radio from our dispatch. Now we have cell phones, we have apps that we can pull up and get information. We're getting our normal information from our dispatcher as well, but we also have mobile data computers in our fire engines. So as we're responding to an address or a location, we're pulling that up and we can start taking a look at addresses that might be affected, what the terrain looks like around what's going on, and start planning out in our heads how we're going to tackle this.
So that speeds up, you know, again, depending on the situation, that even before you get to a location, you, in many cases, may have some idea what you're dealing with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. On a normal, say, a residential structure fire, the captain in the fire engine, while we're responding, is going to pull up the map on our computer, and we're going to start verbalizing to the crew where our closest fire hydrant is for water supply, where our utilities are. We can start pulling up, if it's a commercial business or a apartment complex, we can pull up one of our pre-planned maps, which has additional information on it. So there's a lot of information we can have as we're responding before we get there to start setting up our plan.
Well, that all helps not only you folks, but the people who may be affected, but it still doesn't make it easy.
It does not. And when you get there, you know, until you get eyes on it, you really don't know exactly what you have or what your hazards are.
Alrighty. I know there's some things that we need to get to, considering that this is the time of the year. Matter of fact, we're going to be heating up at the end of the week into the low 90s on this weekend and so forth. So that is a call after everything's grown and so forth for weed abatement.
That's correct. So here we are approaching fire season. So our annual vegetation crop is either curing or has cured, as you can tell by looking around. So now's the time to get our properties in compliance and work on your wildfire preparedness. So we don't want to wait until the emergency occurs. We want to act now and be prepared ahead of time. Our weed abatement ordinance is in effect year-round. Just want to remind residents of that. And it's designed to reduce fire hazards caused by dry vegetation and combustible debris. And property owners are required to maintain all areas of their property, including vacant lots. What we're asking for is to cut and remove weeds, dry grass, and combustible materials. Also, remove all the cuttings. So just because you cut it doesn't mean that took care of the problem. We want that fuel load out of there removed. Keep vegetation at a safe, manageable level, so less than 4 inches in height. And our ordinance here in the city means we want this done 100 feet from structures, 50 feet off the property line, 10 feet off the driveway, and 50 feet from the roadway. And easements are the responsibility of the property owner. So with this being said, obviously there's a lot of lots in town that this reaches further than the size of the lot. So what that means is that's going to be a complete weed abatement of that whole lot because of that.
And is it the June 1st deadline that people need to do that? Or when do you folks go out and start inspecting to make sure that people are doing their due diligence?
Yeah, so our weed abatement inspections are scheduled to begin the first part of next week. Properties found out of compliance will be notified with letters and be given 10 days to comply. And then properties still found out of compliance as of June 1st will be subject to a public hearing at the city council meeting on June 16th. And then at that point, they'll be scheduled for abatement by the city's weed abatement contractor and will be charged associated fees, which will then be added to the property owner's tax bill. So the best way to do this is just take care of this ahead of time. Again, we are starting next week, but we have a little bit of time. Even if you do get a letter, that's your notification to get it taken care of right away.
One of the things that the recommendations from the website is that in some cases, people may not have used their equipment for cutting in X amount of time, but is extremely important to make sure that everything is working correctly so there isn't a spark or anything like that.
That's right. If you have gas-powered equipment, you want to make sure that their spark arrestor is intact. You want to make sure that your blades are sharp and you have plenty of string to do any weed whacking. With that being said, again, we want to remind people, too, that the time to do this is when the fuel moistures are high, so before 10 a.m. in the morning is the best time. We definitely don't want people out cutting, especially with metal blades, things like that, during the day when temperatures are higher and the vegetation is a lot drier.
Is there a common I don't know, reason why we don't. Look, I know fires start because people, you know, may drop a match or, you know, something like that. But is there something that people may not be aware of with what may set off fire if the weed abatement isn't taken care of properly?
Yeah, there's all kinds of reasons that fires start. But again, there's a lot of people that are trying to do the right thing and they're doing weed abatement and they might be using a mower or something like that. You can strike a rock and sparks will create a fire. We've already had several of those happen in the county already recently with people trying to take care of this. So again, before 10 a.m. is the time we want to mow.
Mm-hmm. All righty. And then also with the weed abatement is with the distance requirement and has anybody from the fire department, whether in Sacramento or something, said, look, we put these parameters out here, but, and I guess from a legal standpoint, you can't do more, but you would encourage people, look, cut as much, you know, obviously to what you're required, but if you can do more, it makes sense to do more.
Absolutely. Again, these are the minimums. So our ordinance is the minimums. If you want to do more than that, absolutely. All it's going to do is make your property more fire safe.
And potentially somebody else's property as well.
Correct. We're all in this together. So with all the neighborhoods, we all need to work together to keep each other fire safe.
What are some of the things that you've come across in your experience through the years, other than, you know, a mower going over a rock and starting that, and, you know, obviously the match of some things when you mention the combination of the materials that can set this off as well on somebody's property?
There's all kinds of things. A lot of times during the summer, we have people building pipe fence in this area. There's welders out there or grinding. We have sparks from grinding operations, barbecues, fire pits, all sorts of things like that. You can maybe have, you know, a barbecue in your backyard or have some hot coals, and we have a windy day and it can pick those coals up and extend it to the grass that may be, you know, 10 or 20 feet away. So there's all different ways that fires start here in California.
And one of the things that we were talking about briefly before we came on air was, because there's been some incidents recently here in this county, and they're becoming more, shall we say, popular, is the lithium battery, particularly for, obviously, our power equipment that we use.
That's correct. Lithium-ion batteries, as we all know, are powering everything in our lives today, from vehicles to e-bikes. We have e-scooters, golf carts, hoverboards, power tools, laptops. I mean, I could go on and on. Drones, smartwatches, cell phones, all those sorts of things. And the biggest thing with these is that generally they're pretty safe, but what some things that we want to keep in mind is that we don't want to buy chargers that did not come with the tool or from the same manufacturer. Sometimes if we lose a charger, people go online and find a charger and go for the cheapest one, which may not be the best. Those might be coming from overseas and not tested or certified, and we can have issues with that. They can overcharge a battery and lead to issues there.
Yeah, they give you the instructions from the manufacturer. Folks, this is one instance where you got to listen to the manufacturer on this.
Correct. These readings are there for a reason, and you need to follow it. The other thing that we found with these too, especially when it's in power tools, is that mechanical damage from dropping them or things like that, you can damage batteries. There's a plastic separator in the middle of these batteries between the positive and negative side, and if that separator is damaged, cracked, broken, or bent or something like that from dropping a battery, that can lead to what we call a thermal runaway. That battery can actually self-ignite and catch on fire and sustain a fire for some time.
Now, it's one thing with the batteries for a laptop. So, you know, most people have them. They bring them home, they put them on the counter, they charge them, and what else? But is there any recommendations for the power equipment where, and again, in most cases, people may use it once a week or once a month. They have it in their garage to keep the battery in, keep it out, or where is the safest place? We'll get right back to that. We're going to go to a break right now. We're with Ross Parter. He is the administrative fire captain from the city of Paso Robles. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. If you ever have an accident, just where do you take your vehicle for top-notch repair? I could tell you, but isn't it better to hear from past Davis Body Shop customers? Here's what Kim M. from Atascadero had to say.
What an amazing team. I could not have asked for better service, and my car looked as good as new when they were finished. Patrick took care of me from day one, always keeping me updated about the process and their speedy timeline. I highly recommend them to all my friends and family. Excellent job.
Scott from Atascadero had this to say.
Great body shop. I was hit by another vehicle and took my truck to Davis. The work was done over a month ago and the repair work still looks great. No hidden problems. The truck left Davis in better condition than before the accident. Thanks to Tim and Patrick for all the extra work. It's really appreciated.
And that's why Davis Body Shop is the largest auto body collision specialist in San Luis Obispo County with two locations on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Junior, you know why my TV is turned down so low? Last week, I went down to see Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast. He's a nice young feller who tested my hearing. He had me try on these nearly invisible hearing aids. See? They ain't got no buttons or nothing. By gum, I hear like I'm 29 years old. Call Peter at Hearing Aid Specialists. Dial 805-460-7385. Or use your smartphone and go to SlowCountyHearingAids.com.
If you need a great, easy place for lunch, try the Spirit of Paso Robles in the River Oaks neighborhood. There is plenty of parking, and it's just a couple minutes from downtown Paso. Some of the locals' favorites, grilled prawn cob salad, cowboy Cuban with brisket and pulled pork, smash burger with two patties, the very popular beer-battered fish and chips, and shrimp tacos. Great lunch and easy parking, and the patio is pet-friendly. The Spirit of Paso Robles, right in the middle of River Oaks Golf Course.
Welcome back to Sound Off. Kevin Will, along with our special guest, Administrative Chief of the Paso Robles Fire Department, Ross Porter. All right, Russ, we were finishing up on proper or places to store, particularly the ones that are out in our garage from the power equipment.
That's correct. So what we want to do when we're charging these batteries for our power tools in our garage, we want to charge things on a flat surface. We don't want to cover it up with anything where it can trap heat or insulate. We want it sitting by itself on a hard surface. Some of the problems with these batteries, if they are starting to fail, is that you might notice a strange odor, change in color, change in shape. They can swell. They might leak, have odd noises. And when they go into thermal runaway, they'll actually start hissing sometimes, and you'll see puffs of white smoke that'll come out, and that's a telltale sign that in just a few seconds that battery's probably going to fail and catch on fire.
And that's pretty lethal.
It is. These fires are extremely dangerous. They are extremely toxic, and they happen extremely fast. A battery, say like on an e-scooter, if it goes into thermal runaway and fails, it can fill a living room with fire and smoke in a matter of 4 to 6 seconds. It doesn't take very long. They're puffing smoke out, and they've got fire. The other thing with these batteries is they have combustible metals in them, so they'll start throwing out combustible metals out of them, so like burning cobalt will start coming out, things like that. They're very toxic.
So where would be the best place to store one? Again, I'm using the garage as an example where most people for the power tools.
Sure. So again, with the power tools, we want to charge them. Once they're charged, we want to unplug them and not leave them connected to the charger is the safest way to do it. Keep them cool, keep them on a flat surface, and away from any other combustibles is the best thing to do.
What about, you know, again, would you say yes or no to putting it in a cabinet when you store it in your garage?
A lot of people do, as long as the cabinet's cool and there's not anything else in there that can damage the battery and any chemicals or anything like that. I would never store these with any chemicals, but definitely store them together with themselves separately from things like that.
And also, even if the cabinet, make sure it's not in direct sunlight to where it would warm up the cabinet itself.
Correct. And one of the other biggest problems we have with these batteries right now is disposal of them. So we like to tell people that what we don't want to do is put them in the normal trash. So we have guidelines from county waste management all the different dumps. They have guidelines on what to do with these, and you can take them during the household hazardous waste days, which are on Saturdays, and dispose of them then. They'll recycle them. We don't want to put them in the regular trash, though.
Right. Also, you wanted to talk, hit again on the wild, for the prevention as well.
Yeah, so just to touch on wildfire preparedness, since, again, this is this time of year, we just want to encourage people to maintain that defensible space around your houses, which means remove any dead vegetation, leaves, pine needles, and this includes from your roofs and gutters as well. Keep your grass trimmed low, keep any trees trimmed up about 6 feet off the ground, and maintain spacing on those, make sure they're trimmed properly. The other thing we want to touch on is ensure emergency access to your property is clear and visible. So this includes address numbers. If you don't have address numbers, please get some up. Get them where they can be read easily from both directions on your street to help out our crews. And then have an evacuation plan for your whole family. And more importantly, sign up for local emergency alerts. So we have preparedslow.org where you can sign up for Alert Slow. This is text messaging for severe weather alerts. Plan power outages, highway closures, public health alerts, things like that. Additionally, you can sign up for reverse 911 with the county sheriff's department, and that's at slosheriff.org. And if you haven't done this since 2024, maybe you were registered prior to 2024, and you'll need to sign up again. In 2024, they changed to a new system. So if you're signed up previously, you need to do it again and sign back up again.
One of the things, too, about the home preparedness is, and again, may depend on several situations and where you live, is to communicate with your neighbors as well. Or if you have some, you know, perhaps elderly people in the neighborhood, maybe, you know, talk about the what ifs and the possibilities and so forth.
100%. That's great. Because, again, we're in this together. And you need to take care of your neighbors as well. So having an evacuation plan for your whole family is important. And then once you're established and have that good, it's good to take care of your neighbors as well, especially anybody that lives near you that you could help out that may need additional help.
Well, that's and because if people are not prepared, that panic tends to take place, and then panic doesn't help the situation.
That's correct. That's exactly why we want people to prepare and know what they're going to do. Because when the emergency happens, parents might be at work, kids might be at school, and then if we have a major earthquake or something like that, how are you going to reunify with your children, or how do they know if what you're going to do to reunify with them? So there's a lot of things with that, but it's important to have that set up and discuss it and have a plan for your family so everybody knows.
Right, and it doesn't, you know, folks, it's not like it's brain surgery to do this and take 5 or 6 hours. It's relatively simple, but also it is very important to do that so you know what to do in the case of an emergency. Speaking of an emergency, also, we have this AED program here in the city of Paso Robles. It's pretty amazing.
That's correct. We have public access defibrillators all around the city now, and we're continuing to add more in all the time as funds allow. Right now, there's about 20 that are around the city that I maintain as well. We have them everywhere from the city park to Centennial Park to the Senior Center, Veterans Center, Barney Schwartz Park, Municipal Pool. They're all over the place. What that ties into as well is we want to encourage people to download the Pulse Point app. So this is a free app that you can follow the Paso Robles Fire and Emergency Service calls. And if you're CPR trained, you can elect to receive an alert if there is a need for CPR near you. In addition to that alert, it'll also show you the location of any nearby AEDs. And this is extremely important because in the first 4 minutes of a cardiac arrest event, those are the most crucial, and that's where you can make a difference just by pushing hard and fast in the center of a person's chest. So we don't need to do mouth-to-mouth anymore like we used to in the old days. It's all about just pushing hard and fast in the center of the chest at a rate of at least 100 times a minute, or we like to tell people it's to the beat of Staying Alive by the Bee Gees.
Well, as it says, get the app, save a life.
That's correct.
And that's good that we have so many of them around the city of Paso Robles. And folks, also the July 4th big celebration will be taking place out of Barney Schwartz and the fire department, and a lot of other folks to help us out will be there. Ross, as always, thank you so much for what you do and everybody that you work with. And thank you again for coming in.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Thank you to the community as well.
All right, Susanna's back after, a couple of weeks off for this thing called maternity leave. So she's got a lot of information that she can't wait to give to you. Thank you for listening and enjoy your afternoon.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.